Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it's good to be here. Thank God for another time to be able to get into the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the Word of our God. Says that the word, the world is going to pass away, and the lust thereof, that he that doeth the will of God abideth forever, and the word of our God shall abide forever. So, good to be here, just another time to look into the word of the Lord. There's nothing like the word, and thank God that there's nobody that was worthy to be worshipped, be praised, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself, knowing that he is the Christos, the anointed flesh of God. He is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is the one that Isaiah said, unto us a child is born. 33 years later, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And we know those things that haven't come to pass yet. Thank God for his word, amen, that goeth forth out of his mouth. It's not going to return void, but it's going to accomplish the thing that he sendeth and prosper in that which I please, saith the Lord. So our God is a faithful God. He can't lie. When he swear by no greater, he swear by himself. That means he swear alone. Amen. So thank God for his faithfulness. And we want to begin making sure we give the call-in number, and that is the number 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. Also, we want to say welcome to all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our Blog Talk listeners, amen, all of our Facebook and Twitter listeners. Thank God for you. Amen.
And also, I just want to add, feel free to give us a call at any time to give us comments, give us feedback.
Yeah.
Tell us if you like what you're hearing. Even if you don't like what you're hearing, we can have a discussion about it, but go ahead and leave comments on our Blog Talk page or on our Facebook or wherever the media that you are listening to us through. Go ahead and leave us some comments and let us know how you enjoy or dislike our show.
Yes.
Any comments are welcome. Amen.
Yes, amen, amen. Because we want to put it out there. And so we know that the Word of God is not to be debated, but it is to be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to argue about it. We know that some people, they had a saying that the Word of God will do one of two things. It'll make you shouting glad or fighting mad. So if you're mad, call us up and let us know. If you're glad, let us know. Amen. So we thank God for that. So we have been, weren't with you on last week, so we wanted to make sure this week that we able to continue. So we had been in 2 Corinthians. I know we completed the third chapter. We had been in the fourth chapter. And think we ended up going into the fifth chapter, but I'm not totally for sure where we were. Had a busy day today on the day, but thank God for his word. So anyway, what we wanted to talk about, our subject on today was Jesus, the God in a human body. So we know that we're talking about this earthly tabernacle and all in the fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians. But thank God for our historian and the person of Elder Ryan Fountain was able to be with us again on the day, and we thank God for that. And like I said, he's a educator, and he has a very busy schedule. So we thank God. We treasure being able to break up the book and put it out there in the airways, put the sound out there. Like Isaiah said, the sound went out into all the earth, so it's still going out. Thank God. We thank God for Blog Talk Radio. It's a blessing to be able to do that. So we can start off wherever he feels necessary, because we can't exhaust the word of the Lord. And sometimes we don't, like they say, the best testimony or the best message or the best lesson that you teach or preach is when you sit down and you think of all the things you could have said and all the things you would have said.
Mm-hmm.
So we realize we can never exhaust the word of the Lord. So at this time, and thank God for I didn't even really give my food for thought, but I thank God for the day that which we're living in. And everyone should know that they have freedom, especially if you've been born again, you've been baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost. You have the freedom to get into the Word of God for yourself. We know that one of the end time signs is one of the worst ones, and that is Jesus himself said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." So that's our responsibility, to get in that Word and to know what God's Word is saying. We don't have to be fooled. I've heard messages preached years ago, don't be fooled. So we know there's a straight, this is a straight and narrow way. The broad way is the way the world's going. The straight and the narrow is the way of the Lord, the way of the church, the way of the believer. So at this time, we're going to move on into the Word. Like I said, we're in the second book of Corinthians, which is a confirmation of the book, of the first book of the Corinthians. And he was letting everybody know about the resurrection and all, and how, what order they're going to come in. And then so he's talking about the God of comfort and a lot of other things that we're going to get into as we get in this book. We haven't gotten into things. Even Apostle Paul let us know the abundance of revelations that he had. God had to do something so he wouldn't be exalted above measure because of all of that. So thank God. We know as we go on in the book, God doesn't want us to be ignorant of Satan's devices. So at this time, it's my privilege and a blessing and a pleasure to be able to introduce our historian, and thank God that he's able to help us out on the day and to get into the word of the Lord, and that is in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain, our historian.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. It's funny that you talked about we didn't get a food for thought, but it's funny that we're in this chapter of the tabernacle, Christ being the tabernacle of God, God in human flesh, because that is what I kind of want to deal with on my food for thought today. So I think we can kind of meld the two together and seamlessly go right into 2 Corinthians. But let me start off with saying that there is only one God, and there's only one person in that God.
Yeah.
And that person or that body was Jesus Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. So that means all of God's power, all of God's authority dwelt within that human body.
Yeah.
And God is the only one that is holy. He can make you holy, but he is the only one that is holy. And there's nothing that can compare to his holiness. So it's really kind of unjust for us to talk about his holiness in the aspect that we don't really truly, we can't truly fathom within our human minds how holy God is.
Yeah.
We can only behold how holy he is when he transforms us, it transforms our body, and we see him in all of his glory. So, but I heard a message the other night by a Trinitarian preacher, I believe by the name of Cahill, I believe is his name, out of Georgia. And he was talking about God's holiness. And I'm going to go through the scriptures that he referred to, because he then referred to God's holiness leading to the Trinity, which is totally erroneous. There's no basis to this whatsoever. There's no way that you can prove the Trinity through God's holiness, because, especially with the scriptures that he was using, because God is one, and he's not going to give his glory to another. So, and he's the only one that can be truly holy. So to go against totally what the Old Testament was saying, and then put in a second person and a third person into the Godhead and say that they are also holy, as God is holy in the Old Testament, and try to say that although they are separate persons, they're still one. Well, that's not what my Bible says. Amen.
No.
So, in Exodus the 15th chapter, and I see where Elder Cannon's going, and we're going to talk about that scripture also. Exodus the 15th chapter, the 11th verse, it says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods?" So thee, that he's talking about one God.
Yes.
O God, that's the singular O Lord. There's only one entity that he is talking about right there. That is the one Lord, the true God. Who is like thee amongst the other gods? That you notice that little g, gods, that means that there's many other gods who aren't really on the level of God. And they're not really living gods. They are man's creation out of his own heart and out of his own mind. So these gods are creatures and other elements that man has made into God.
Yes.
to bring false worship. We don't really have time to go into that, where that all started. That all started in old Babel with King Nimrod. He was the one that started that sort of false worship, to worship elements and to worship creatures and to make gods out of these different types of things. But who is like unto thee, O Lord? The Lord is the creator of all the elements. He's the creator of all the animals. He's all the creator of all life. So all things point unto him. So where man has tried to make gods out of these creatures, they should really be worshiping not the creature that they make, but rather the God that made the creature that they made. Amen?
Amen.
So, who is like unto thee? Who is like thee glorious in holiness? That means there is nothing else that is holy as God. There's no creature that is holy as God until the man Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus Christ was holy because God put all of his holiness inside of that man.
Yeah.
That making that man the pinnacle of holiness of the human family. Amen? He was the only one that could be an example to us of holiness, of pure holiness from the human family.
Yeah.
Because he was made of a woman, but yet he was conceived or begotten by the Father, and it also says in the gospel that his Father was the Holy Ghost. So how do you have more than one Father? If the Holy Ghost is his Father and the Father is his Father, that means that the Holy Ghost and the Father have to be one Spirit, because God is a Spirit.
Yes.
And you can't separate the Spirit at all. The St. John plainly tells us that God is a Spirit, the Father is a Spirit.
Yeah.
And we know that the Holy Ghost is a Spirit. So if you have two persons in that Godhead, that means you have to have two different spirits. And my Bible says that there's only one Spirit in the book of Ephesians.
Yes.
Amen? So we have to know that there's only one Spirit and one Holy God. Amen? Now let's go to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. I'm sorry, the 4th chapter. And this is the appearance of him when he came. Well, let's start. Let's read the whole story. And Jesus rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him. Let's start in verse 28. And they all heard in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill where on their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. This is after Jesus rebuked him, rebuked all of them for their unbelief. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. That's because he is the word of God. So the word was just speaking of himself. He
right.
just was speaking of himself through the other prophets that he spoke to in times past. Amen.
Yeah.
And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." The Holy One. That means there's no other Holy One like this Holy One.
Right.
He was the pinnacle or the summit of holiness in mankind, because all of the Godhead bodily dwelt inside of him. All of God's holiness, all of God's glory, all of God's power, his authority, dwelt within this man, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen? Jesus of Nazareth, he was the one who was chosen. A body thou hast prepared me. God prepared himself a body before the world began, before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. Jesus Christ, the creative Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ was slain in God's mind before the foundation of the world. But God had a plan. See, God has this all planned out from the very beginning. That's why he was able to choose us before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
Who's the us he's talking about in the book of Ephesians? He's talking about the church. So now when you look at the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the 26th verse, it says, "Let us make man in our image." Now, the Trinitarians will try to tell you that that is speaking of a Trinity right there, that he took counsel with the Son and with the Holy Ghost at that time. But the book of Isaiah tells us that he took counsel of
nobody.
He stood by himself.
Yeah.
Who was like me? Who
right.
who was able to stand beside me? So we have to figure out who the us is. Whenever God refers to us, you have to figure out who he's talking about. When he told them in the garden, "Now man has become as one of us."
Yeah.
Who was he speaking to right there? Well, he's not speaking to Adam, because that's who he's talking about.
Right.
Amen. He's not talking about Eve, because Eve was right along there with Adam. They were both named Adam until Adam named Eve
mm-hmm.
in the fifth chapter. But in who else was in that garden with them? Satan was. So he says he's become as one of us. Only one of us he has become as. God knows good and evil, but he only knows evil by seeing it afar off, because there's no evil within him.
Right.
So the only other one that knew good and evil and was in evil and was in sin was Satan himself. Amen.
Yeah.
So that is who man became like at that point. But God had to shed the blood of innocent lambs and clothe Adam and Eve. That all happens in the third chapter. Now, who is he talking about when he said, "Let us go down to Sodom and Gomorrah," and he spoke to Abraham? The us that was with him there were two angels.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yes.
So he had two angels. And I'm sorry, I'm referring to the 11th chapter when he said, "Let us go down and see what man is doing in
Tower
Babel,
of Babel."
In the mm-hmm. Tower of Babel. And he said, He has to confound man's hearts or confound their tongues. So that is another us. Now, let's talk about the us. Well, let's go to Genesis, the first chapter. I'm talking about it, but let's look at Genesis, the first chapter, the 26th verse. It says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the flesh of the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, most people get caught up on the us and the our, but before you can see who the us and the our is, you have to understand who the image is.
Yeah.
Let's go to Colossians, the first chapter. And look at that verse really quickly. Well, let's skip up to the 13th verse so we can understand who it is the reference to in the 15th verse. It says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." This is talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So Jesus Christ is the image. That word "the" denotes singular article, definite article, amen? That means that there's only one. There's only one image, amen?
Yeah.
And he is the image of the invisible God. That means you cannot see God because God is a spirit, but he is the visibility of an invisible God. He is what is known as the shadow of God.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only see the shadow coming off because the shadow is not the direct glory, amen, but it is the reflection of the glory upon a human body, amen?
Amen.
Let's go to Hebrews now, the first chapter. And starting at the first verse, it says, "God, who at sundry or different times and in diverse manner, different ways, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us," who's the us there? The church, "by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image," that means the one and only image of his person.
Mm-hmm.
No, not persons, per son. There's only one person in the Godhead, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? So he is the express image, the shown image, the reflection of God that we can see in this earth, amen? So Adam was made in this image after the likeness. Now, the image deals with the attributes or qualities of God, all of the holiness and all the dominion that he has over things. Those are attributes that God has in this earth, or in heaven, that he shows on earth through the man, first through Adam, who was made in the image, but through Jesus Christ, amen, who has all authority and power in him, amen? So Adam was made in that image, but after the likeness. Now, the angels have the likeness, but if you read on in Hebrews, it says that Jesus Christ was not made in the likeness. He was made a little lower than the angels.
Mm-hmm.
The angels have the likeness. They can stand directly in God's presence and bow down before him. Amen?
Yes.
So they can go directly into God's presence because they have the same makeup, they have the same material that they are made out of. Amen? The same substance.
Right.
We cannot see God because we will be burned up into his glory. That's what he told Moses. He said, "You cannot see my glory and live."
That's right.
And Paul says that when he comes down out of heaven, that he's going to burn up all men by his glory. He says this in 2 Thessalonians.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot see God and live because we do not have the same substance because we were made after the likeness. We were not made in the likeness. But there will be a time where we will be in the likeness because we will be like him.
Yeah.
1 John tells us that the third chapter. We will be like him so we can behold him as he is.
Yeah.
So we were not made in the likeness, we were made after the likeness. So So now, but then Adam lost that image. He lost that image when he stepped out of the attributes of God and stepped out of his place that God set him in. When you step out of your anointing, you are no longer in God's favor. You cannot be in the image. But that's why Jesus Christ came, so that he could transform us into a new image and into his image. Amen?
Amen.
We are conformed into his image. So now, us being conformed into his image, we become the us of God, because the church is in the body of Christ. The book of St. John, the 14th chapter, let me turn there really quick. This is a scripture that is many times used at funerals, talking about our entrance into heaven, but that is not really what this scripture is talking about. This is talking about the house of God, or the place, or the tabernacle of God. Mm-hmm. Amen? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, that word mansions does not mean what we know as mansions, as the big oversized house that people live in. We're not going to have oversized houses made of gold. That's not what the scriptures bear witness to. That is not what our place is. That word mansions means rooms or dwelling places.
Mm.
So there's many different dwelling places or slot. I don't know what the word to use, but places that we can abide within.
Right.
In the Father's house.
Right.
Now, what is the Father's house? Jesus Christ is the Father's house, because where the Father dwells, that is where his house is.
Yeah.
At one time, his house was a little tabernacle out in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Made of ram skins and goat skins and badger skins. That is where God dwelt himself. He dwelt within that tent. But then Solomon built him a house, and he dwelt within there and brought his glory down within that temple. But then after the ark was taken out of its place, he no longer dwelt in that temple. But then he made himself a temple. Let's look at St. John, I believe it's the fourth chapter. He says that 3 days.
Third chapter. Destroyed his temple
chapter,
in 3 days, I'll raise it again. Yes.
St. John, the third chapter, and it says that Lord, where is it? He says that no man.
Yeah, St. John, the second chapter.
Second chapter,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. As his disciples remember, it was written, "The zeal of thine house has eaten me up." Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "What showest thou then? Sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." 2 and 19.
So
mm-hmm.
Jesus says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And then the Jews says, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
But he was not speaking of the temple that they knew as Herod's temple,
right.
Because God never really dwelt in that temple, because they didn't have the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant is where God came down and dwelt and spoke unto man and unto the high priest with.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't talking about that temple. The temple he spake of was his body,
yeah.
In that very next verse, but he spake of the temple of his body. So the temple was now in Jesus Christ, amen?
Yeah.
That was the Father's house, because that is where the Father dwelt.
Yeah.
So there are many mansions or many dwelling places within the Father's house, within the body of Christ, amen? If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Where is he going to prepare that place? He went to Calvary's Hill to prepare that place for you. He shed his blood for you so that you may partake of his blood and be made to go into the Father's house, because the priests had to be cleansed before they could go into the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now kings and priests. We are priests after the order of Melchizedek. So when he died upon that cross, he shed his blood as the perfect Lamb of God.
Yes.
But then he had to offer that same blood in the temple, amen? So he had to take that blood and offer it as the high priest, not after the order of Levi, but after the order of Melchizedek.
Yes.
So it, because in the 110th Psalm, he says, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So that is the priesthood that was established through the church. Amen. We are no longer under the Levitical priesthood because that priesthood was only for types and shadows of Jesus Christ to come.
Yeah.
But we are under a new priesthood after a person out of the tribe of Judah, wherewith there was no speaking of the priesthood.
Right.
But we are made after a new priesthood, after the order of Melchizedek. And he offered that blood up unto the God of glory, who received that blood, and is now, we are now able to have access unto God. We are made nigh, or we are made close,
yes,
or we have access now by the blood of Christ,
yes,
as Gentiles and also as Jews. Excuse me.
Yes.
So now, we are the Father's house. He has prepared a place for us on Calvary's Hill, his death, and is also his resurrection, because this is the last message that he spoke unto the apostles or unto the disciples with on his way unto the Garden of Gethsemane. There's only the 11 with him at this point. Judas has already been cast off. He has already went to make his deal with the devil and his deal with the high priest to sell his soul for 30 pieces of silver to betray his Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only the 11 with him. And breaking off on a side note, there's no way that there could be a gospel of Judas because he died before the resurrection happened. And that
right.
is an integral part of the resurrection.
Right.
So those that say that there is a gospel of Judas, it's a lie.
Right. And there could be, and that's what I can't think of the kind of statement. It would be a kind like a contrary statement. Because there's no good news of Judas.
Amen. It's a, it's what you're looking for is an oxymoron.
Exactly.
It's a contradictory statement.
Mm-hmm.
There is no gospel of Judas. There is no good news of Judas, like
right.
you said. So Jesus prepared a place for us. He's preparing a place. It says right here, I go to prepare a place for
mm-hmm.
you. So this is yet a future statement because he has not went onto the hill of Calvary and died yet.
Right.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again.
Mm-hmm.
I. That's a personal pronoun, I. That means that only he's talking of himself.
Right.
Will come again and receive you unto myself. That means that he's going to receive you into his body. Receive you into the place or the Father's house. That where I am, where is he right now? In the Father's house.
Yeah.
He is in the body that God prepared for the church. Amen?
Amen.
I am. There may be also. Ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way ye know. And he said, as we skip down, no, we're not going to read all this. Because right here he says, Philip says, show us the Father that it sufficeth us.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, have I not been with you so long? When you see the Father, you, when you see me, you see the Father also. The Father was with them because the Father was in his house.
Yeah.
It was the outward showing of the Father. The Father's love was in him. The Father's power was in him. The Father's glory was in him. It was all the Father doing the works through the sonship. Amen?
True.
Believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. How is the Father in him? All the fullness of the Father was in him.
Yeah.
Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Be verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Yeah. Amen. Who is he that should do greater works? The ones that are unto him. Amen.
Yes.
The church is the ones that are doing greater works. How are we doing greater works? Because we are saving souls and delivering the message of Jesus Christ unto others. He did not deliver this message unto, he gave it into the hands of men to deliver this message. Amen.
And we're spirit filled. We have the Holy Ghost in us.
Even the Apostle Paul, he did not preach himself unto the Apostle Paul. He sent a man unto the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
He did not preach himself unto Cornelius. He sent a man unto Cornelius. This is the greater works that are being done. Amen.
Amen.
Let's get down to where he talks about another comforter. If you love me, you keep my commandments, 15th verse. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this right here is where the Trinitarians say that this is the third person coming into play right now, that the Son is going to go into the Father, and then the Father is going to send the Holy Ghost. Amen? Which is true, because the sonship, or the Son of God, prayed unto the Father, the Spirit. So the body of God prayed unto the Spirit of God to send the Spirit back unto men. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. How do they know him? Because he's speaking to them right now.
Right.
For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Yeah.
So right now he's with you. John said that we handled the word of life.
Mm-hmm.
We talked unto him. We spoke unto him. He's with you right now. He was with them at that moment.
Yeah.
He was with them, the Spirit of truth. Because the Spirit of truth was inside Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Amen?
Yeah.
So all of that was in him. I am the resurrection. The Father didn't have to resurrect him because he was the resurrection.
Yeah.
So the Father resurrected him because he gave authority unto him, because he put it into the sonship. Amen? It's all one God doing these works. Amen?
Yeah.
I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But he just said the Spirit of truth is going to come to them. He just said the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, was going to abide with them. But now he says, I'm coming to you, because he is the Comforter.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost is not the only Comforter. He is the Comforter.
Yes.
He is the Holy Ghost. He is the Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
It's all the same Spirit. That's where the Trinitarians go wrong here. There's only one Spirit.
Right.
If you have three persons in a Godhead, that means you have to have three bodies. You have to have three souls, and you have to have three spirits.
Yeah.
There's only one body. There's only one spirit. There's only one soul within God. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to realize that he's speaking of himself. He's going to leave out of their presence in this bodily form, but he's going to return unto them as another manifestation of himself. Amen?
Amen.
That is another comforter. It's another form that he's coming in to comfort them. Because he's not only going to dwell with them, he is going to be in them.
Yes.
I will come unto you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye are in me, and I in you. So he is going to be in them by way of the Holy Ghost. We are going to be in him, in the body of Christ, and he is in the Father, because the Father is in him. So that means the Father is going to be in us, and we are going to be in the Father.
Yes.
Which we are in the body of Christ. Amen? Now, let's go to Ephesians. And there's a lot of us's being spoken of in Ephesians. Now, we have to understand, and we've been saying this over and over again, that the epistles written unto the churches were addressed to the saints of God. There's only a certain group of people that Paul and James and Peter and John and Jude were speaking unto. There's a certain group of people that they're speaking unto. They're not speaking unto everybody. They're not speaking unto the world. They're speaking only to those that are in the church. They're speaking to those that have been baptized in Jesus' name, have repented from their sins, had their sins washed away, and have been filled with the Holy Ghost. That is the only people that they are talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Let's confirm that. Let's go to Romans, the first chapter, and this is being spoke of many different times. You have to understand the word epistle means letter.
Yeah.
So it's a letter written unto a certain person. If I write a letter, I have to address that to a certain person. If
yeah.
I write a letter unto Elder Cannon, I have to address that letter to Elder Cannon, or else it's never going to get to him. It's going to get lost. So this was addressed unto a certain group of people, and he says in the epistle unto the Romans, the first chapter, let's start out, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, where if he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness and by the resurrection from the dead, in whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, this is who it's being written.
Yeah.
To all that be in Rome, so this means he's talking to the entire city of Rome. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called
to be saints.
So he's talking to those who are called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So only those who are called to be saints and have accepted that calling and are functioning within the body of Christ was he writing unto. This is as it is in all the epistles. He's not writing these unto the world because the world receiveth them not. Amen? Receiveth not these words. Before we get into the first chapter, let's go into the second chapter. And it says, He now justifies the Gentiles because this is a mainly Gentile church in Ephesus. He's telling the Gentiles that they have much access to God as the Jews. This is what Jesus Christ did for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
The devil has children.
Yeah.
And they work in disobedience just as he works in disobedience.
Yeah.
Among whom also we all had our conversation or our manner of living in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Mm-hmm.
But God,
yes,
who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us.
Yes.
He loved us who were in trespasses and sin.
Yes.
He loved us who lived according to our flesh. He loved us who lived according to our lusts. This is the love that he loved us with.
Yes.
Even where we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
This is the dwelling place that we are in right now. We are in heavenly places. Does that mean we're in heaven? No. Heaven's a place.
Yeah.
But we are in heavenly places. That means we are put into a position where we are going to heaven. We are put in a position where we're going to be carried by the Spirit into glory with him, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For we are his workmanship, skipping down, created in Christ Jesus, good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, or the Jews, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, the nation of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We were strangers. We had no promise. That means we had no hope whatsoever. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off, the Gentiles had no parts whatsoever in temple worship. They were not. They had a court of themselves. That is where the temple of Umar is today. That is where the Gentile court was. They could not go past that court into the court which held the tabernacle of glory. We could not go into there, so we were strangers, and we were far off. But now we are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who had made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Who's the us there? It's talking about Jews and Gentiles.
Yeah.
So we are no longer two separate people, but we are one through Jesus Christ in the church.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, let's keep reading. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He might reconcile both unto God in one body. Jesus Christ had one body that he reconciled both Jews and Gentiles with, because he had connection with all of mankind, because he connected himself not only to Abraham and to the seed of Abraham, but he connected himself all the way back to the seed of Adam. He was the nearest kinsman to Adam that could redeem Adam's house out of sin. He is our nearest kinsman. He is our redeemer. For through that, and came and preached peace unto you which were far off, and to them that were nigh, both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And through him we both have access by one Spirit. One Spirit. Unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and ye are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God. Through the Spirit. This is the house. This is the Father's house that he is dwelling in today. He was dwelling in the man Jesus Christ, and he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to build and make a place that you can come into the Father's house, and the Father's house can come into you and dwell with you, and not only dwell with you, but dwell in you also. Amen.
Yeah.
This is the body of Christ that he established. We are in the body of Christ. If you have had your sins washed away, you are able to go into the body of Christ. If you have new life within you, the Holy Ghost dwelling within you, you are in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen? You have to have repented to get into the body of Christ.
And
you have
converted.
To do all of these things. Be converted.
Yeah.
You cannot be converted without having your sins washed away.
Yeah.
Amen? So we have done all these things to be in the body of Christ, to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we may dwell with the Father forever and ever. That is our hope.
Yes.
Our hope is eternal life. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is to see God as he is.
Yes.
Now, with that being said, establishing the body of Christ, it says he chose us, first chapter, let's start the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us, the church, the body of Christ, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key word, in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
So when you repented on June 1st, 2011, he chose you way before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
How did he choose you way before the foundation of the world? Because through his foreknowledge,
yes,
or knowing what was going to happen before it happens, he knew that you were going to say yes and repent of your sins, and you were going to be baptized in Jesus' name, and you were going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you were going to be in him. That's how he chose us in him.
Yeah.
He didn't choose me and then pass over my mother and my father. He chose me because I said yes unto him,
yeah,
when he preached the gospel unto me before the foundation of the world. How do I know he preached the gospel unto me before the foundation of the world? Because he lay the lamb before the foundation of the world. That's because he preached the gospel unto me, because he knew he had to shed the blood of an innocent lamb to redeem me from my sins. That's the gospel right there. Amen.
Yes.
Do you believe in me? Do you believe that I am the God of your creation? Do you believe that I am the God of your glory? Do you believe that I am God?
Yes.
The one and true God. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
I bow myself down unto you. I submit myself a living sacrifice unto you. He knew I was going to do that before,
yes,
the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We are going to be with him in holiness. He has to conform us unto holiness. We are conforming. We are, like he said, we are his workmanship.
Yes.
That means he's continually working on us, because he needs a church that is without spot, without blemish, that he can present unto himself. Unto himself.
Yes.
This is talking about Jesus Christ. Amen? So with that being said, we are the us in God.
Yes.
We are the us in God, the church. This is how he says, let us make man in our image, because the church is his image. Amen?
Yes.
The body of Christ is his image, the reflection of God in this earth. We are the image, because we are conformed into that image, because that pure image came down, dwelt on this earth for 33 and a half years, hung up on a cross, amen, and died and was buried, and on the third day he rose again, that we may come unto him. So we are able to come unto him. That makes us the us in making. Amen. That's another key word that is missed. Let us make man. This is not talking about creation, because God does the creating by himself,
yes,
as the Father.
Yes.
And he is our Father in creation, Son in redemption, Holy Ghost and Comforter. Amen?
Yes.
So as the Father, he was the creator. He does not say anything about creating in 1:26. Where does he talk about creating? In the very next verse. He says, so God, singular,
yes,
created man in his image. In his image,
yes,
in the image of God, created he him. That's not talking plural right there. Because in creation, God had to make the body of Christ, amen? In creation, he had to make the body of Christ.
Yes.
So after he created the body of Christ within his mind, he then said, let us make man, because the body of Christ was created in him before the foundation of the world. He created the body of Christ, and then he said, well, let us make man in our image. I know that that's a whole lot there, and you may not be able to chew on that right there,
yeah.
But he is not talking about three persons in that verse. Because in making, he was talking to the church. But in creation, he did it all by himself.
Yeah.
We have to be able to decipher between the two. You can't take 126 and just lay it out there by itself and say that proves the Trinity right there. Now, this preacher said the other night that that God being holy in the Old Testament, the Father was holy, and Jesus Christ, the Holy One, and then the Holy Ghost, all these three right here prove that there's a Trinity. But there's no way that there can be a Trinity because there's only one Holy One.
Yeah.
And God showed his holy, he showed his holiness through Jesus Christ, amen? Because how does Jesus Christ holy? Because God was inside of him, making him holy.
Yeah.
And how is God making us holy today? He is inside of us, making us holy through the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Which is the one spirit that is the spirit that he sent unto us, the portion of our spirit, the as it's called, the
earnest of our
inheritance, amen? He is the earnest.
Mm-hmm.
That means he is the down payment for our inheritance in heaven to be with him forever and ever. We don't have a mansion waiting for us in heaven. We have the throne of God. He says in the book of the Revelation that we are going to be in the throne. We are going to be right there in the throne, dwelling with him, shouting, holy, holy, holy unto him. We never got into the book of 2 Corinthians.
Right. That's okay, though, but really you're right on target with our subject being Jesus, the God, and the human body, because that's the whole revelation of the whole Bible, that God is one. And so that the very fact of the so-called Trinitarian doctrine is damnable doctrine, even as the Bible says that thou believest there is one God, thou do as well, James 2:19. The devils also believe and tremble.
Amen.
What do they believe? They believe there's one God.
One God.
They have you thinking there's two or three. So the whole thing is, just like we were saying about the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians actually being a confirmation of 1 Corinthians, what Apostle Paul said back in the book of the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and that is, he said, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You got to know that there is only one God.
One God.
That's foolishness. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was only who died for you, who was buried, who rose again, who's coming back. That's what you got to know. And you got to know that it's Jesus. And that is the central theme. Like somebody asked, what was the only book of the book of prophecy in the Bible, which is called the book of prophecy? We know that is the book of Revelation. But there's other prophecies in the scriptures also.
Amen.
That is called the book of prophecy.
Because he is the spirit of prophecy.
He is the testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy.
Spirit
but
of
not
prophecy.
Only that, when you read at the end of the book, when he says, I, Jesus, send mine angels to testify these things. I am the root and the offspring of David. I'm the bright and the morning star. So that people got to, you got to know that there's only one God.
How can you be the root and the offspring
of David? He is the author and finisher of our faith.
Of our faith,
yeah.
He is the Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah,
that's the
beginning and the end.
Amen.
The first and the last.
Amen.
The which was, the which is, the which is to come.
Amen.
The bishop of our soul, the
Amen.
Apostle of our profession, the captain of our salvation. He's all of those. We thank God for that. And so we really gave you some food for thought on today because we stayed right on stuff. And we thank God for that. So, God bless you on today. Thank God for his word. There's nothing like the word of our God. And we know the time is far spent. We thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. We hope this broadcast, this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry55@att.net. That is truthministry55@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh.
justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.